Every June for the past 97 years, NABIP has sworn in a new president. Each new president brings their expertise to leading a board of trustees composed of talented leaders, all of them volunteering their time and talents to the organization. What are the plans for the new association year? Let's get briefed.
This is the Benefits Brief, the official podcast of the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals. Your fast track to what you need to know to stay sharp, informed, and ready to deliver for your clients. And now, here's your host, former NABIP president and award-winning podcaster, David Saltzman.
And to help us answer that question, we've invited my friend Michael Walker, who is the brand new president of NABIP. Michael assumes leadership at an important moment for the association. After a year of highly visible change and transition, NABIP's focused on stability, member value, professional advocacy, and building momentum for the future. We'll discuss where the organization stands today and what members can expect in the year ahead, and the important work that's already underway across NABIP's committees and leadership teams. Michael, welcome to the very first episode of the Benefits Brief.
Well, good morning, David. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Before we get into plans for the coming year, and I know you've got a lot of really interesting stuff on the board, let's level set. There were some very public changes and challenges for the association over the past year, and naturally the members had questions, as they should. What's the state of NABIP today?
Well, David, first of all, let me just say there's not anything we can do about what happened in the past. The past is behind us. We're moving forward. As a matter of fact, that's our theme, is forward together. And that's just where we are.
What would you say to members who've been concerned about the organization's stability?
Well, I would say, number one, I understand those concerns. Absolutely. Every member should have those concerns. But I will tell you that we are working in a very efficient manner to make sure that we have stabilization throughout the organization. And when I say that, I'm not just talking about it from a standpoint of financial stability. That is totally important. However, I'm also talking about the stabilization of our organization and how we operate.
What have you seen internally that gives you confidence about where NABIP is now?
Well, number one, I have to start with our leadership. As you know, we have a voluntary leadership organization, but I will tell you that the passion and the commitment to see us through and to move forward is there. And that's what I've seen that stood out the most. You know, we have an organization that is made up of mainly alphas. When you think about it, most agents and brokers, they run their own shops. They're type A personalities. Then when you throw that all together into leadership, everybody brings with them their education, their own personal experience to the table. And the reason why they're there is because they've been leaders before in their alphas. So that's where we are.
So has the difficult period revealed some strengths inside the organization that maybe we all didn't realize before? Maybe, you know, let's take it from a staff perspective. What's happened there?
Well, I'll say, number one, the staff has been unwavering in their commitment to taking forth NABIP's mission. But overall, when I look at the staff and I look at our volunteer leaders, the word that pops out first is resiliency. We are a resilient group of people, and that's in our history. As you mentioned, every year for the past 97 years. So you're talking about 97 years of being in existence. Look at all the different changes we've been through. Look at the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows. We're still standing. So I have to say we're a resilient bunch.
Well, and that's the best thing, isn't it? I mean, one of the things that happens oftentimes after a challenging period like we've just gone through is that organizations get really clear about priorities and directions. So from a 20,000-foot level, we'll get into the details in a moment, but from the 20,000-foot level, what are your broad goals for NABIP over the next 12 months?
Well, when we say broad goals, I'm going to kind of stick with this theme, and this is what I'll be pushing throughout. Number one, our broad goal is to do what we do best, do what got us to this position, and continue to focus on that. But at the same time, we want to focus on some things that we maybe not do as well, such as communication, being transparent. We're going to make sure that we do that. You know, anybody that have spent some time with organized sports or something like that, one of the things that your coach will tell you, especially if you have a good coach, is that you continue to do the things that you do well and continue to work on that to perfect that. But at the same time, the things that you do not do as well, you work on those also so that you can take your weakness and turn it into a strength. And that way you become a whole.
That's a great way to look at it. You know, of course, as you and I both know, turning those goals into reality requires leadership focus and also execution. So our structure is we have a board, which, as I mentioned, in the open are all volunteers. So let's start at the board level, and then we can drill into some of the committees where a lot of the rubber meets the road. What will the NABIT board be concentrating on this year?
Well, I got to say that first and foremost, we have to concentrate on our finances. That's key. That's the lifeblood of any organization, is your revenue stream. And not only your revenue stream and how much, but what you do with what you have. And I have to say that we may not have been very prudent in the past, but we're going to change that this year, moving forward. We're going to make sure that the decisions that we make moving forward are one, deeply considered of the ramifications of what that might be, short term, midterm, and long term. I think we have to think in three phases as we move forward now. We got to see what's going to immediately impact us, and then what's going to take us to the next level, and then that third level where hopefully we can become elite.
Well, you know, you mentioned communication a little while ago, and of course, human nature is that we fill voids in communication with suspicion. How important is transparency and communication with the members moving forward, and what's on your mind about better ways to communicate?
Well, I got to say, first of all, transparency is the key there. And when you're talking about the public trust, you need to be transparent and need to be able to effectively communicate with your membership why you made a decision. You know, if I can look a member in the eye and said, I made that decision based on the information I had at the time, also based on what we needed to do immediately to right the ship or to make a positive impact, and then look at it from a long term. If I can do that and it makes sense in a reasonable manner, then I know that we're on the right track. And that's where we have to get. We need to make sure that we make decisions based off fact and not emotion.
And that's sometimes very difficult to do, especially when you've got big challenges in front of you, as this year's board that's outgoing now learned kind of the hard way, but they got a wedgie and they rose to the occasion, which was amazing. And I think that sets us up for success going forward. At least that was the goal. So you've appointed some really smart and dedicated people to lead some of NABIP's key committees. And a lot of the work in our organization actually happens through the committees and volunteer leaders throughout the organization, not only at the national level, but at the local and the state levels. So what do you look for in selecting leaders for those roles?
Well, I have to say, first of all, I look for a person that's a self-starter. And, you know, growing up, we always heard and we were taught in school about being self-motivated and what have you. Well, I look for people, number one, that are professional, but at the same time, they can look at a situation and read the problem. You know, you hear a lot of time in football, they want a quarterback that can read the defense. They can figure out where the defense is coming and know where to attack the weak points. That's the same thing I look for in leaders. I want a leader that can read the situation, analyze it, determine a path forward, and then implement and execute.
So how important is collaboration across committees right now? Is that something that we're going to look for more in the coming year?
Well, we have to. We got to do that. When you think about the different committees, you have individual health. Well, individual health is connected to small groups. Small groups, they're connected to large groups. And then all of those three phases right there are connected to Medicare, because as they go through the different phases of life, the healthcare needs changes. So we have to continue to collaborate between all of those, and let's not leave out long-term care. And oh, by the way, what about disability income insurance as well? Because all of that makes up our total healthcare package. And for NABIP to be the leader in the healthcare space, we have to make sure that we cover all the bases.
Well, and a lot of people may not know this, but back those 97 years ago when we started, we were a disability income association. Group health insurance, as we know, it didn't happen until the end of World War II. So there were a lot of, you know, changes between now and then, but bringing disability back would be a great start to rounding out all of our offerings. And, you know, it commission proofs our members, because if the commission on A goes down, they go sell more B and they can concentrate on that. So being diversified is always a good thing. Let's transition to membership, because membership is really the lifeblood of the organization. Who's leading membership this year, and what are some of the major initiatives or priorities for the membership committee?
Well, Michelle Wilson Reynolds is leading membership this year, and we're going to be focusing, of course, on increasing membership. We need to do that. As you mentioned earlier, we've been in existence for 97 years. Well, we haven't been able, that was not by default. That was because it was intentional, and we continue to recruit and bring in new and younger members to the association and to grow and develop our leadership organically. We've got to continue to do that. That have fallen off a little bit. Some of it has been due to attrition, because we have people that are aging out and retiring. You know, I read a stat somewhere, I think the average age of an insurance agent or broker is somewhere like 59 or 60 years old or something like that. Well, then that means we need to kind of start to reignite those relationships with university, to have people that are majoring in risk management and go out and recruit younger people. Also, you know, there's a thing called the Insurance Commissioner's Office, and they have a website where they post all the new members that, or should I say new agents that just got licensed. Those are the people we need to go after. We need to cultivate those relationships, bring people in that just got licensed, that are now trying to find their way, and let them know they have a home right here that's going to help them with their professional development.
Well, and NABIP does an awful lot of education in a lot of different areas. So, you know, years ago, when you came into the business, you didn't just go get a license, get a pat on the fanny, and, you know, be told good luck and go harass some clients. You went to, in Prudential's case, that was the biggest one, you went to Prue School. Or when I started with State Mutual Life, they sent me to Worcester for 3 weeks. I don't know why Worcester, I hadn't done anything bad. I hadn't been there long enough, but they sent me to Worcester for 3 weeks. But now nobody does that anymore. And we don't have the same kind of captive agents and general agency system for the most part that we had before. So it's important for NABIP to be a place where agents, especially newly minted agents, as you're talking about, can come and learn how to do their craft and learn the ins and outs so they can advise their clients better.
Absolutely. I agree wholeheartedly. You know, there's something to the knowledge. It's all power. You know, that's where the power comes from. Information is knowledge, and knowledge is power. So if we equipped our new agents that are coming in with all the knowledge and the resources they need in order to be effective, that also will breed and promote confidence with them, as well as professionalism. And then that's how we will continue to grow.
Another member area members always care about deeply, and we have some people that's this is their sole focus, is legislative and regulatory activity. Who's leading those efforts this year, and what's the group going to focus on?
Well, we have a gentleman by the name of Chris Vanderwalk. Many people have heard of Chris. He has a legal background. He's heavily involved in legislative matters and what have you. So we're looking forward to great things from Chris. But I have to tell you, legislation has always been one of our focal points here. That's how we effect change in a positive manner. And we're going to continue to do that. But I think we want to look at it from a standpoint of trying to be a little bit more proactive. In the past, we've been more reactive. And in a lot of situations, if the train has already left the station, you did what? You were late getting there. You missed it. You got to jump ahead of it and be at the next stop and jump on there. So what we're going to try to do is maybe be the people at the very front of the line to make sure we don't miss the train. So now how do we do that? We've got to, instead of following what legislation has done, and pass, and then trying to figure out where we fit in is we have to get ahead of that legislation. And there are different types of tools out there that are available to let us know. And it's Health and Human Services in our case. And so we need to get in front of that. How do we do that? We do that by getting to know the policymakers' assistance. In other words, we know who the senators are. They know who we are. And the same with the congressmen or the House of Representatives. But do their legislative aides know us, the people that really do the gunt work, the dirty work, and then go back and tell the senator and the congressman where people stand and where they should vote? Okay, that's where we got to get to it, and then help them craft that. You know, in another life, I used to do telecommunications, and I was a government contractor. And it's real interesting that how I had to make sure that I got ahead of it the next year to see what they had on the table to be funded and to find out where I fit in, and then go out and explain to them how I could do it better than what they had in their statement of operating procedures.
You're in Georgia, and I know this year you've had a couple of opportunities to testify to the legislature. How valuable are those opportunities, and how can we foment more of those on the national level?
Well, first of all, those opportunities are extremely valuable, especially because every time I go to testify, I introduce myself as whatever my title is with the National Association of Benefit and Insurance Professionals. In addition, they know that I've served in a leadership capacity with the state organization. But by being able to talk about that, that does a couple things. It brings credibility because they know that I'm aligned with a professional trade association, that it's just not me, that I have a lot of resources behind me. And I will have to tell you that was very important in the formation of getting Georgia Access up and running, because when the current governor was running to become governor, I was able to talk with him and talk to him about how this was going to be very important. Was at that particular time, it was healthcare.gov, and that was it. And I said, there are ways that you can bring some of that money back to Georgia, and let me show you how. But then the next thing I said was, I'm affiliated with the National Association of Benefits and Insurance Professionals. I have at my fingertips many resources that can help you. And that's how I built a relationship with him, and that's how we resulted in this. We're going to have to do more of that on a local level. And one of the ways I want to do that is see that more board members and leaders in our local and state chapters get to know their local officials and get out there and testify and speak on different issues that are coming up. And if they're not comfortable with doing that, do an op-ed, okay? You can do that. And that will get our name out there more and more.
Another major pillar of membership value is professional development. It's always been one of our strongest offerings, that we alluded to it earlier in our chat. Who's heading that area this year, and what are some of the things that members can expect?
Well, Jennifer Lowry is going to head that committee for us this year. I'm looking for great things from Jennifer. But I will tell you this. We also have some other people that are kind of coming back into the fold to work on that. And as you say, professional development, it's always been one of our mainstays. And that's how we show value. This year, I think you need to be prepared to see more things in the way of technology. And when I say technology, I'm talking about the areas of artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. We, as agents and brokers, we need to understand the role that technology will play in the healthcare space. And rather than fear it, we need to embrace it, get knowledge, and also figure out how to manipulate it to our best advantage so we can then deliver to our clients and be a trusted resource advisor.
From what you've heard, I know you've been on kind of a listening tour. How are member expectations changing when it comes to education and training? What are they expecting from us?
Well, I'll tell you this. One thing is they're looking for having it right away. When something comes out, they want to know that we're on it. So that goes back to my earlier statement. We got to get ahead of everything. And that's what we're trying to do with AI. I will say that I think we have a lot of members that are developing programs. We're working on internal programs that talk about AI and more specifically how it interacts and intersects with healthcare. And we're trying to do that in real time. And we're going to have to continue to do things in real time like that.
And we're also, you know, offering some cybersecurity opportunities for folks and some of the peripheral things that agencies and advisors need to deal with. So it's a big feature of what we're doing, and you know, it's pretty pervasive. So we'll kind of see where that ends up, but it's fun to watch, but it's also something that can be a danger if you're not careful with it.
Well, that's why we have to embrace it and understand it, you know.
We've also got a new challenge that we just put out there about making sure that our members are ERISA proficient, because there's a lot more emphasis on that. We're seeing some more lawsuits, et cetera, et cetera. Anything else in particular that's on the drawing board that you're at a point where you can discuss?
Well, I will say this, from a standpoint of making sure that our leaders are well informed, is we're looking at bringing in more fiduciary type courses, stuff like that, that talk about how to be a fiduciary, what it means, the duty of care. And we need to do that from a compliance standpoint, and more importantly, to make sure that when our leaders move up the ladder, they already know, they come prepared and equipped. It's the same thing with a kid that's starting out, that's trying to go to the NBA. They start out playing little league basketball and what have you. They continue to grow and grow. And then by the time you get to, say, a college level, you know, there are certain basic things about playing defense that the coach already expects you to know. That's where we got to get. And the same when you get to pro. You hear a lot of terms, especially when Alabama was in their heyday, people would say, this guy is pro ready. We got to be pro ready. And this is how we're going to do it. It's through professional development.
I knew somehow you'd get Alabama into the conversation. I just knew it.
Well, I just said it. You know, I could say, I could substitute Georgia for that. And maybe in the next 2 or 3 years, my alma mater, we can say Auburn is the gold standard. I certainly hope so.
Light a candle, Michael, light a candle. The Medicare community continues to be a larger and more influential part of NABIP. What's happening in that space right now, and who are the leaders who are helping to drive that?
Well, you're absolutely right. Medicare is one of those mainstays right now for our membership, and as well as for our future, because of the things we just talked about, the different phases of healthcare. But what I will say is that we have initiated the re-engagement, reactivation of our FMO council, which was made up of large Medicare agencies. They are ready to go, and Dwayne is coming in. A lot of you people know who Dwayne is. He is coming back to chair Medicare this year, which is fantastic. And Mike Smith and then a lot of others are going to come back in and really head up that Medicare group for us. And I'd just like to say that we're pushing our Medicare certification. A lot of people may already know this, but we're very proud to say that Aetna has joined in with us now. So we have all of the major carriers that are supporting and signed on to have their agents and brokers to take our Medicare certification. That's going to be really big for us. Some of the other things that we probably want to take a look at in making sure that our agents and brokers in that area, and our members as well, is there are a couple designations and certification. One is called the RSSA, that's the Registered Social Security Analyst designation. That's one thing that we need to look at, because that's going to assist our agents and brokers as they're dealing with their individuals, their small groups, their large groups, and what have you. There's also the NSSA, National Social Security Advisor designation. And one, Mr. David Salzman, that you are familiar with, is the ARMA. That's the Income-Related Monthly Adjusted Amount Certification Planning. So we need to look at those type of things as well, because I see that is providing them with a lot more knowledge to help their individual customer.
So your position is, if we're not going to build it, or if we already have something that's parallel, we should also make sure that members know about all those other designations and those other educational opportunities.
Absolutely. We have to build partnerships, because we don't have a large research and development budget. We can't go and really produce a lot of that type of stuff. But what we can do is use our distribution channel, our platform, to partner with those who does and bring that in and make it a part of our overall strategy for growth.
That sounds like a great strategy. Let's move into media and communication, because you can't hide your light under a bushel. A lot of the criticism that we've gotten this year is, yeah, you may be doing all these wonderful things, but we don't know about them because you have never told us. So it's increasingly critical. NABIP does great work, but again, we need to tell folks. Who's leading that effort and what are the plans moving forward?
Well, Craig Gussain from California, Craig Gussain, he is going to lead that. He's been in media and communication for quite a long time. As a matter of fact, I served on, I think it was PR or something with him before. And Greg does a great job in a local market. And we need to get more of our leaders to be able to go out in front of the camera, in front of the radio, and talk to them about NABIT and what's going on. And that will also help brand us and also let them know the quality of people that we have. And under Craig's leadership, we're going to be a lot more open. We're going to probably use some of the town halls that we have to give Craig an opportunity to come out and talk to them about the communication and media training. He has a bunch of templates on how to go about doing that, an effective way of being able to communicate with the media. And so we're going to take that along with our PR department, try to marry them together, and then roll that out to our leadership on local boards, state boards and stuff, so that they can go out and carry our message as well. I think that's one of the ways that you build our brand and make it even better is the fact that we have leaders from all across the country. And you know, in different segments of the country, what's important to one group may not be important to the other. So that's why we need to get the local leadership out to go and speak and be engaged from a media standpoint. So we'll have a lot more updates on communications and how we're going to go about that.
Yeah. And I mean, as we go on with the Benefits Brief, our newly branded podcast, we're going to talk to all of these committee chairs during the course of the year and get updates about what they're doing. But Craig did a healthcare happy hour episode not too long ago that you can still go and find, where he basically did a how-to on how to be able to attract and be asked to be on local media. And it, as Craig will continue to tell everybody, it's not as difficult as it seems from the outside. So, you know, maybe you go back and look that up if it's something that's of interest to you. Michael, as we wrap up, I want to pull back one more time and talk directly to the membership. You're looking ahead to the coming year. What's your message to NABIT members about where the association is headed and why they should feel optimistic about the future?
Well, I say, first of all, I will start with the fact that we're focusing on the here and now, which is right now. We need to make sure that we're financially stabilized from an organization structural standpoint. We have stability there. And I want the members to know that we are going to make sure that we do not let you down. You entrusted faith and confidence in us to lead, to allow us to lead the organization. And we're going to make sure that we uphold our end of the bargain. And how do we do that? We do that by working together, by working in unison, by sitting down and figuring out exactly where we need to be as an organization and going that route. You know, right now, people look at healthcare and they said, man, it is very volatile. It's all unpredictable. Costs are out of whack. I can't think of a better place for us to be. You know why? Because number one, healthcare doesn't matter if you're a Republican. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. We all need healthcare. We're in the organization that's been in existence for 97 years doing this. And all we need to do is to continue to show our leadership and step up to the plate. So I can't think of a better opportunity than for us to be where we are right now.
Michael Walker, president of NABIT, first of all, congratulations on your new role. Thanks for joining us on the very first episode of the Benefits Brief.
David, thank you very much for having me. I look forward to talking to you again in the future.
And listeners, you've been briefed.
Stay ahead with the Benefits Brief. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or catch every episode in your member-exclusive Washington Update each Friday. To learn more about how NABIP helps you succeed or to become a member, visit NABIP.org. That's NABIP.org.